All righty, folks, welcome back. It is a Sunday edition, a football Sunday edition of JJ After Dark, and it's John Jastrzemski guiding you to the overnight right here on The Fan. Now, we missed him last week. I was having a blast at a wedding, so unfortunately we couldn't make it happen during the week, but now he is back by popular demand, and he's been killing it all year. So I apologize for anybody who maybe had a lousy fantasy week last week because they didn't have a chance to hear from this guy. You want to follow him on Twitter, at JasonKatz13 from FantasyPros.com. My good friend, Jason Katz. Mr. Katz, how are you, good sir?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back after a week off.
Absolutely, and we missed you. And unfortunately, we have to start the segment on a very down note due to the fact that Kareem Hunt is a total jerk and is suspended for the remainder of this year, which was the right move by the league, long overdue, right move by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now the ramifications of that from a Kansas City perspective, and I understand it's quite the startling jump to talk about a player being suspended or being released now in Kareem Hunt and how Kansas City moves forward and how fantasy owners move forward. But once you separate those aspects, Jason, what are your fantasy projections for Kareem Hunt's replacement?
Well, the good news with Spencer Ware being taking over is we've seen this before. There's no speculation here. We've seen Spencer Ware be an RB1, and that is with a Chiefs offense featuring Alex Smith at quarterback. It was not the air raid offense that we have now. You put Spencer Ware in this offense, and I don't think that you will not see any drop-off. It's going to be the same exact thing. Spencer Ware is possibly a top five running back rest of the way.
How about that? So for anybody who stashed Spencer Ware on their team for whatever the reason, and Jason and I are actually partners in a fantasy league, and Jason, we were smart enough to do so. Isn't that right?
Well, we have the advantage of that being a very deep league, so you can just throw guys on your bench. And who has a higher ceiling than Spencer Ware in a league, in a 14-team league with like 20-man rosters?
Now, for those who were unable to stash a guy like Spencer Ware, is it possible a guy like Damian Williams could vulture a couple of touchdowns? Or for anybody just in dire need now of trying to help out their running back position, who would you look to?
I guess at this point, the flags that'll be up on picking up Malcolm Brown in case Todd Gurley gets hurt or did something terrible. You just never know. And that's why you handcuff these guys later in the year. I'm not a proponent of drafting handcuffs, but as you get later into the season, you understand and it becomes clearer who these guys are that are going to replace the starters if something happens. And once you're in the later part of the season, your focus should be on building your best possible starting lineup for the playoffs. And that means your bench doesn't need to have players you're going to plug and play anymore. You don't need those guys that can just step in. You want guys that can take over and be dominant if you need them. And that's the high-value handcuffs like Spencer Ware, like Malcolm Brown.
Jason, before we get to the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the running backs for the final week of the regular season when it comes to a fantasy perspective, as far as that look ahead for the playoffs, when it comes to maybe streaming a defense, looking at a given matchup, what has caught your eye as you look ahead to the fantasy playoffs that will start next week?
Well, in the defensive front, I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Seattle was a popular streamer this week, and they're an even more valuable streamer because they have San Francisco this week, and then they have them again 2 weeks from now in your fantasy semifinal. Another team to look for, Miami. They've got Buffalo this week, and I believe it's week 15 or 16. They have Jacksonville with Cody Kessler under center now. So what you want to do is look for a defense now that is playing a weak opponent in week 15 or 16, especially if you have the bye. You should be spending the time now, or let's say you clinch it this week. Next week, right away, you pick up your guys for 15 and 16. You have two defenses if you need to. Three if you can afford it. Get those defenses on your roster now and get all the players that you need for those 2 weeks. That's all that matters.
That's useful advice right there. Be mindful. Even if you think you got a layup, even if you know you're not playing next week, stash that defense that's got a juicy matchup in week 15, or dare I say week 16. We're with our fantasy guru, Jason Katz from FantasyPros.com, as we get you ready for, believe it or not, week 13 across the board in the National Football League. Okay, Jason, this is an important week for a lot of people out there. A lot of folks who are listening to this show right now are probably either trying to get into the playoffs in their league or they're trying to make sure they're not playing next week. So we got to get these right. A lot of pressure on you here this week. I hope you're up to the challenge, my friend.
I hope so, too.
I hope you're not like an Andy Dalton fantasy expert, right? I hope you're more like a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, ones that are good in the regular season and good in the playoffs.
That's what I'm talking about. So let's start there, Jason, with the quarterback position. The guy that has a juicy, intriguing matchup that you're all over this week.
I'm going to say Carson Wentz here purely because now it's back-to-back really, really bad weeks. And it's not just the poor fantasy performance. Wentz has not looked good. I really do think he's going to bounce back this week. Just one touchdown in his last two games. The Redskins just allowed Dak Prescott to throw for a season-high 289 yards. I know a lot of that was Amari Cooper after the catch. Point being, though, their secondary, not very good right now. The Eagles need this game to stay in the division race. And I think that Doug Peterson is going to make an effort to get Wentz's confidence back and try and get Wentz on the right track, get him some touchdowns. So I think Carson Wentz is a big bounce back game.
Jason, off topic, are you surprised with the way Carson Wentz has played for most of this year? I understand he's coming back off the knee injury, but this is a guy last year who was probably the front runner for the MVP. Now this year hasn't put up those sort of numbers. So is that what you expected for the most part coming into the year? Like, were you very leery of Wentz because he was coming off the surgery? Or is this kind of throwing you a curveball?
No, I was always worried about the injury. I don't like drafting injured players in general. I think that fantasy owners in general and any NFL analyst kind of overrates how easy it is to come back from injury. And we see it with a lot of players. Wentz came back his first game, obviously, he did not look good. He had his legs under him. Then he played pretty well from that point forward until 2 weeks ago. And then he started to struggle. It's really hard to kind of put a finger on why. Obviously, you watch him play, you see that there are some mechanical issues going on. In terms of why that started to rear its ugly head 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure. I think that Wentz is more the quarterback we saw last year than the one we saw his rookie year, and I'm willing to bank on the talent.
Okay, Jason, now on the flip side, and as we know, important week. You can't make that wrong quarterback decision. What quarterback are you leaving off your roster come Sunday?
If I can, it's going to be Matt Ryan, who seems to throw for 300 yards just about every week. But within a year where no defense is really that scary, you've got the Ravens allowing just 203 passing yards per game. The 15.7 fantasy points per game that they allow to opposing QBs is the fifth lowest in the league. So Ryan's got 272 yards in every game since week two, seven 300-yard passing games. It's hard to bench him. He's been as safe as they come. Just don't think it's happening this week. I think the Falcons are going to win this game in an ugly, low-scoring battle, which is not what they normally do. Ryan should be fine. I do think he's going to be a QB1, but I think it's more of a lower end. If you need that upside play, you got to look somewhere else.
Okay, Jason, let's get to running back. And obviously the gold standards are going to be in your lineup. But Todd Gurley is going to be in your lineup. Saquon Barkley is going to be in your lineup. But who is the guy that you have front and center as far as the must start of the week?
I prepare these things in advance. And Josh Adams showed up in the injury report today with the hip issue. He's listed as questionable. I still think he plays. If he doesn't, obviously, don't start him. If you're not sure if you should start him, then either pick someone up who's playing Monday night or just play someone safer tomorrow. But if you do start Josh Adams, if he plays, I really, really like him. If we were on last week, he was going to be my guy. So this would be 2 weeks in a row for him. He's still not being valued properly. Last week, Adams played on 62% of the Eagles snaps. To put that in perspective, during the Doug Peterson era, that is the highest snap count for any single RB. And it should have been even higher. Adams briefly exited in the first half with a shoulder injury, and the Eagles were facing negative game script for the majority of the game. They're touchdown home favorites against an average run defense. Adams is in line for serious volume. I'm all in on the Eagles this week.
There you have it. You're hearing a lot of Eagles love at quarterback and at running back. Now, where are we not going to be feeling the love at running back, good sir?
This is painful, but I seriously think you can justify, if you have a viable replacement, benching David Johnson.
Wow. Never thought I'd hear those words come out of your mouth, Mrs. Katz, because we know at the start of the year, you were one of the leaders of the David Johnson fan club. So for all those owners who invested a first-round pick on DJ, who maybe still are like clinging to any hope they may have, you're saying keep them out. Why?
Yeah, those I convinced to take DJ over Le'Veon Bell, you're welcome. Those who I convinced to take DJ over Todd Gurley, I'm sorry. Byron Leftwich has certainly been better for David Johnson, but not by much. Like, sorry, Lord Byron, but drawing up two screens for DJ per game is not using him in the passing game. He has just three targets in each of his past two games. The Cardinals struggle to sustain drives, and they're rarely in scoring position, so he can't score touchdowns. Packers are two touchdown favorites, so unless the Cardinals suddenly decide to line up DJ in the slot and actually throw him the ball, he's going to continue to run to the back of his lineman for 3 yards and first downs and do nothing after that. I'm very worried about DJ this week.
Okay, Jason, again, we spent a couple minutes with our fantasy guru, Jason Katz. Check him out, fantasypros.com. Follow him on Twitter, JasonKatz13. And, of course, he's a part of every regular season Football Sunday show right here on The Fan, right here with yours truly. Wide receiver, my friend. It's always a muddle mess, but what comes to mind here for this week?
Digging deep for the people this week, for the ones who really need to find somebody on the waiver wire to plug in, I'm going for a post-hype sleeper here, Josh Doctson. Josh Doctson has basically been Devontae Parker 2.0. I know you can appreciate that reference.
I like that reference, Jason, and that's a bold, bold choice. I like you digging deep in the most important week of the regular season for a guy that I think is going to be available, my friend, in a lot of leagues.
He is, and I don't enjoy touting him. And I don't mind comparing anybody to Devontae Parker because I've been ragging on Parker for a long time, and all he's done is prove me right over and over again. But the Eagles are literally starting you and me, JJ, out there at cornerback right now. The Giants couldn't exploit it because their coaching staff is incompetent. Sorry, Giants fans, but you heard Odell Beckham allude to it in his post-game complaints. They just didn't attack the Eagles' corners. I have no idea why. I do think the Redskins will do that. Doctson had 10 targets last week, 7 the week before that. He's still just 3 years removed from displaying elite-level athleticism and dominating at TCU. Doctson, he's really set up for possibly a breakout game this week.
Now, Jason, I should rename this next category the Devontae Parker Award. I mean, we may have to do that now each and every week. A wide receiver we don't want to go near. Who is this week's version of one Devontae Parker?
Larry Fitzgerald. Fantasy owners, I'm sure they're ecstatic about his last 2 weeks. He has 3 touchdowns. So here's the thing, though. He's caught 4 passes. So that 75% touchdown rate here in his last 2 weeks, that's not sustainable. Negative game script, good for passing games. Extreme negative game script, the kind that we see with the Cardinals every week, the kind that we saw when the Eagles played the Saints. That's not good. When it gets that bad, then teams just kind of give up. And that's what the Cardinals are kind of looking at again this week. The Packers are not a good team, and they're one of the worst teams in defending slot receivers, so it seems a bit counterintuitive to fade Fitzgerald. They're just one of the worst teams in football, and they just can't sustain drives, as I said, with DJ. So as much as I'm going all in on the Eagles, I'm fading the Cardinals here.
Okay, Jason, let's get to a couple of Twitter questions. These are always my favorite. Little rapid fire, kind of having you react like you're Peyton Manning in a 2-minute drill. You ready for it?
Let's go.
All right, Jason, here we go. This comes from King of the Sheep. Jason, Cam Newton or Lamar Jackson on Sunday? Who should I be starting?
I love me some Lamar Jackson this week, but you are not benching Cam Newton against Tampa Bay's previously league-worst pass defense. I think they've been surpassed by the Bengals. But the Bucs just bleed points to quarterbacks. Cam Newton's got the high rushing floor. Start Cam with confidence.
Okay, Jason, let's get to what would be a very juicy quarterback dilemma. And I'm kind of jealous because I wish I had both of these quarterbacks on my fantasy team. This one comes from Craig, and he's asking, should it be Russell Wilson against the 49ers or the great Aaron Rodgers against the Cardinals on Sunday?
It's a sad day when you're benching Aaron Rodgers.
Isn't that crazy, Jason? I mean, that's what you call a first world problem. When you have the opportunity to bench Aaron Rodgers because you have a better option. But you know what? I can't blame you on that. You're going to tell me Russell Wilson right now is playing better.
I am, and I'm going to tell you to start Russell Wilson. I will say this. They are neck and neck in the weekly rankings and projections. So you can go either way with this one. I'm just going with a guy who I think might have to do more, and that's Russell Wilson. I think the Packers are going to win that game. They're not going to win it by a lot, but they're going to win it in a very comfortable fashion. It's going to be kind of like when they beat the Bills, where the game was never in doubt. They covered the spread, but they really just kind of kicked field goals, didn't let the other team score. I think that there's going to be a lot of that going on with the Packers, where they win this game maybe something like 26-6 or something like that. whereas Russell Wilson is going to light up the 49ers, and hopefully that Chris Carson doesn't steal all the touchdowns.
Well, Jason, the final question is coming from yours truly, because I'm in a situation when I am in dire need of a victory, where I need a win, I need a little help to get in, so I got to get it right at running back. And I lost Kareem Hunt, and rightfully so, for the year. Good riddance. But I have a little bit of a dilemma here, where I have four running backs basically for three spots. I'm looking at Sonny Michel, Shady McCoy, Kenyon Drake, and Theo Riddick. I got to sit one of those guys. Michel, McCoy, Drake, Riddick. It is a full PPR league, Jason. Who's on the bench?
That totally throws so many wrenches into all of this, because Michel obviously has the volume, but you're talking full PPR. In a shootout with the Rams, I think that Riddick will catch a lot of passes. I like Drake a lot because the Bills are going to – they're not going to force the Dolphins into negative game script, and they're actually pretty good defending the run, which means that Drake's much better at the back to catching passes. So he's the one that Dolphins should be using more. And who was the fourth option there?
That'd be Shady McCoy against the terrible run defense.
And the Dolphins, they also just bleed points to running backs. You've got four options here that are all very similar. I think I would sit Drake because he has the lowest floor. And if they do decide to just pound Frank Gore and Drake doesn't catch as many passes as he needs to, that's where he needs his production, is in the passing game. I like Drake this week. I just like him a little less than the other three.
Jason, outstanding perspective as always, my friend. And this is it for the regular season. Next week, my man, it's playoff time. So I hope come playoff time, you got a lot of Tom Brady in you. You got a lot of Russell Wilson in you, and not a lot of Andy Dalton. I don't want a playoff fantasy guru to resemble a guy who folds up like a cheap suit come playoff time. Isn't that right?
You are talking a lot of smack about Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I know. I'm like ragging on the poor guy, and he's out for the year. I mean, but when I think of losers in the playoffs, I mean, that's an easy name that comes to mind, correct?
I mean, he lost to T.J. Yates in a playoff game.
That's all you need to know. And Jason, you're not going to lose to T.J. Yates in a fantasy matchup, isn't that right?
Absolutely not.
Jason, good stuff, brother. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your football Sunday. We will chat next week. And my friend, I want to get you involved one of these days on the Instagram Live. Can we make that happen?
I'd be happy to do it. I love talking football. I'll do it as much as I can.
That's what I'm talking about. Jason Katz, Fantasy Pros. Jason, take care, all right, pal?
You too.
Good stuff from Jason. When we come back, your calls on Robbie Cano and Diaz coming to the Mets, getting everybody ready for week number 13 across the board in the NFL, and who's in and who's out when it comes to the college football playoff. Update time. Here he is, the Italian Stallion, Marco Belletti.